Good morning.
Good morning.
Hello.
All right. Okay. Love that bow tie, by the way. This is the, we have more than one Roy Ng now, I see. We're almost ready with the video. Not yet, but we're good, right? No? All right. Let me just talk for a few minutes, but we'd like to get that video up. Last week we looked at the relationship between the husband and the wife, and we had looked at how that marriage, that relationship is the cornerstone where all the other relationships flow from, okay? All the other things, the aunts, uncles, extended family, it comes from the cornerstone of the relationship between the husband and wife. And one of those key relationships is the next generation as well. So today I want to look at the relationship between the parent and the child. Now, I normally don't use videos, all right, because technically it's very difficult, apparently. It's easy to see it on YouTube and flip around, but to get up here is a little bit of a challenge. So I thank all the people that worked on this because for a whole week we try to do different things, technically to get up here. And I'm sure with full confidence we will be up there in just a second. But there's a reason why I don't show videos too often, because, people can watch videos anytime they want in the privacy of their own home without hearing it from a message. But this particular video that I came across was, it's just so appropriate to introduce today's message, okay? And it's a bit long, and I'm running out of things to say, but it's also very touching, okay? How many of you know Steve Harvey? Have you heard of Steve Harvey before, right? Okay, all right, he's semi-well-known, right? Not as big as Oprah, but Steve Harvey. And so he produced this one video. It's not a long clip, but again, it talks about the parent and child. So I think what I'll do is I'll pray right now. I'll pray right now. I'll take some questions later on, but I'm sure they'll get it going, okay? So let's just bow our heads, and then when I say amen, it's all going to be done, right? All right. No pressure, guys. No pressure. Father, thank you, Lord, for this day. And Lord Jesus, as we look into your word, as we look into your Ten Commandment, especially the one right in the middle, the fifth commandment. Father, Lord, I ask that you would speak to this church, speak to us right now as a church that is family-oriented, a church that can boast of three generations, maybe even more. The Father, we would take to heart with the grace that you give us and a submission of heart that we can offer, that we would come away with a greater understanding of what it means to honor a father and mother. So Holy Spirit, I ask, Lord, that you would once again open up our minds and our hearts as well as we look into your word. Give me the grace to communicate this. And I thank you for putting circumstances in my life so that I can have something to say this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. How are we doing there, guys, for that?
2 minutes.
2 minutes. Whoa, 2 minutes. Okay, well, all right. All right, keep working on that, and then whenever you're ready, just play it, and I'll stop, all right? All right, as an immigrant child, I came to this city. No, I'm not killing time. I wouldn't waste your time like this, all right? But as an immigrant child, I came to this city about 1975. And just use your imagination. I had a slide up there when I was a kid, about maybe 5, 6 years old, all right? And my mom, so it's a picture of a mother and son, okay? So picture that. And my mother always drilled it to my head, all right? Honor your parents, Albert. Honor your mother and father. Children, obey your parents, for this pleases the Lord. And so she was tell that to me over and over again, right? Oh, there he goes. Remember Bruce Lee back in those days? I mean, that was a popular, that's like today's equivalent of like Nike, whatever, right? Well, back then, that was probably a t-shirt. So she would used to tell me, you know, honor your parents. So I thought, you know, as a five-year-old, I thought that was very biased of her to tell me that particular part of scriptures. I mean, there are also scripture that talks about do not be so harsh to your children. You know, there are also scriptures that talk about what ought to happen in terms of the parent to the child. But she only highlights honor your mother and your father, Albert. Obey, children, obey what is pleased the Lord. So then if that didn't work, then she would have grandpa, all right, use his Confucian filial piety concepts to convince me. And if that still did not work, well, you know, for those of you who are raised in any kind of immigrant family, you would know that there's always that all-purpose big stick at home, the feather duster, okay, to further motivate me to honor my mother and father. All right? Are we almost there?
Yeah, I think we're good.
All right, play it.
Hopefully.
All right, so the video's about 4.5 minutes.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. It's been more than 15 years since my mom passed away. But there's not a day that goes by that I don't think of some of the principles that she taught me. Elois Wiehart, I adored her. She taught me so many things. One of the biggest lessons she taught me was about image. My mother was a Sunday school teacher. It was important for her that we dressed up to go to church. And my mother was saved, so she went to church all the time. Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, we skipped Thursday, Friday, we missed Saturday and Sunday, both morning and night service. That's prayer meeting, Bible study, choir rehearsal, usher board meeting number 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. I really was considering going to hell at one point because I thought that it was just too much church. But her image, her concern with image was everything back then. You got to dress up to go to church. That was her thing. It's been instilled in me. I dress up all the time. I think about her when I'm tired. You know, they asked me to do this. I said I'll take a shot at it, you know, but it's a difficult thing for me. Okay. I can only hope that in everything that she's taught me, that somehow she's somewhere watching me. I hope that I've made her proud of the man I've turned out to be. Haven't always been where I should have been in my life, but I was trying. And I look at my life and where it's turned out. I think about all of the moments of things she taught me about acts of kindness and how to treat people. Do unto others that you would have them do unto you, and don't do nothing to a woman that you want nobody to do to your mama or your sister. I remember her talking to me about respecting women, and if you can ever grow up, do something on behalf of women. Always honor them, son, because you'll need them until the day you leave here. I remember that. I remember her lessons about faith. She taught me to pray. She taught me about the weapon of prayer, how vital it is, how important it is. Whether you believe that or not, that don't really matter to me. It has worked for me every single time I've used it. So, as I sit here on a set that's mine and a TV show and everything else I got, it's because Elois Vera Harvey taught me about the love of God and the respect of people. I love my mom.
Thank you guys for all the work to get that video out there for us. And so as I was sharing, my mother was taught me to do that. And it's really quite ironic now that that I'm a parent myself and I'm starting to take care of not only my own kids, but take care of my elderly mother, that I begin to understand a little bit more about this fifth commandment of honoring your parents. Because before that, it was just a superficial matter of compliance, understanding not to talk back to them, maybe doing some of the chores that they asked you to do, or to speak respectfully to them. And so it really spoke to me as I was studying this particular passage, Ten Commandments, and this particular commandment, that it is a lot more profound than just those things that I just mentioned. And so if you have your Bible with you, Exodus 20, which is the scripture reading, I'm not going to jump around too much today, but I really want to spend some time on the fifth commandment, honor your mother and father. At this point in Exodus 20, we know that the Israelites have been under the Egyptian captivity for a long, long time already, and they just left Egypt. So for a long time now, they haven't really been living like a people of God. They have lost that covenant relationship. It's been so long. And so now in chapter 20 of Exodus, they are being prepared to live like they were meant to live, to be a covenant people, to be Jehovah's people, in the land that Jehovah was about to offer to them. And so among the Ten Commandments, the one that's right in the middle, and again, it reads like this: honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. So I want us to dissect this commandment together and let us see what we find here. Right? So there's an anatomy here that there are three components that I want to kind of mention to you. The first one, and it's in your bulletin, I believe. You can follow along with me if you want. The first one is a unconditional obedience despite failures. You know, in relationships in the Bible, when God gives us a command or God gives us a mandate, It's easy if everything is just ideal, right? So when the Bible says, you know, husbands love your wife and wives, you know, submit to your husband, well, it all makes sense. If everything is ideal, if everything is working properly, yeah, that makes sense. I could do that. You know, when the husband demonstrates love, then the wife, yeah, I'll submit to a man like that, right? And then likewise, when a wife submits, you know, then he loves. It's easier. But the breakdown happens when we are dealing with less than ideal situations. Now, in reality, when the husband does not treat the wife lovingly, then she has a real hard time submitting to such a man like that. And then likewise, you know, when a wife is not submitting to him, then you know, for the husband, it's really hard to love a woman like that when she treats him like that. And the same dynamic is true when it comes to this particular commandment of honoring your mother and your father. You know, as a child, my first exposure to a family, I guess, would be through the American media. And the first show that I watched, some of you recall, it's called The Brady Bunch. And so at that time, to me, that was the ideal family. I mean, I came from an immigrant background, and it had its own broken features to it. So when I watched TV, when I flicked it on, wow, that's a real nice family. That's my dream family. You know, I wish that my family looked like that. You know, the kids got along, you know, and there were so many of them. I was the only child. Wow, they're so lucky, you know, and with some exceptions, you know, yes, they argued, but they got along for the most part. And they had a real nice a ranch-style house. You remember that? They had a car that was station wagon where they were always going on vacations together. They had a dog. They had a maid named Alice. Remember that show? And of course, all of that was anchored by the husband and wife combination of, you know, Mike and Carol Brady. And so to honor your parents when they have met your expectations, well, it's easier to comply to the commandment, right? Just like if everything else was ideal, then yes, it's easier to obey. But what happens when your parents failed you? What happens as their child that maybe you failed them? You know, we're all part of a humanity that is flawed and broken, just like Evan mentioned this morning. Right? We're all broken people in a broken society, in a broken world. Like Isaiah says, you know, we're a people, you know, of unclean lips, and we live among a community of unclean lips. And so parents can fail their children. You know, when they see domestic violence, the parents have failed. If verbal abuse is the norm at home, then yes, there's a failure on the parents. And so as a result, the child grow up accepting what is unacceptable. Divorce is another type of parental failure. The divorce will shatter the cornerstone that we've been learning of the family. I mean, it happens. It's not ideal. But humans do break promises and go back on the vows that they said to each other. And perhaps also parents can neglect their children financially or emotionally, spiritually. You know, I read this week about how important a father and a daughter relationship is. You know, father and son relationship is certainly well documented. And in some ways, it really comes natural to us guys, us dads. But our relationship with our daughters, you know, can be easily overlooked. You know, research shows this, that at the beginning of adolescence, dads typically spend more time with the son than with the daughters, right? That's what research says. And it may not always be a cultural reason behind that. You know, dads just usually fade away for several reasons. You know, with boys, a little bit straightforward, you know, spend more time with them. But for daughters, well, you need to talk to them. You need to learn how to affirm them and open up yourself to them and emotionally connect with them. And all of that is very unnatural for typical passive fathers, especially if you're Asian. So when that little girl is not a little girl anymore and they have reached puberty, well, dads, you know, just tell mom, hey, listen, you know, hey, you got this one, all right? I don't know what to do here. This is your department. I'm stepping out. You take over now. And so dads aren't able to kind of navigate through the hormonal mood swings of those teenage years. And yet, you know what? That's exactly the time where they need the attention and they need the affirmation from a male presence. That's the time they need it. And if daughters do not get that, then they're frozen emotionally. Other parts of their lives move on, but that particular area is frozen. And it becomes a void that needs to be filled. And to go into adulthood from a position of need rather than have their emotional love tank all filled up. On the outside, they're adults, but emotionally they're still lacking what their fathers have failed to give them at that particular time. Hence, maybe they make poor choices, trying to fill that void that their dad, for whatever reason, stepped away from. So parents can fail their children. But you are called to honor your parents unconditionally. Now, with that being said, you know, children can also fail their parents as well. It goes both ways. We're all, you know, fallen people, and I would love to have this conversation with my mom someday, you know, so that, you know, it's a little objective. You know, hey, we could fail each other, right? You know? But here, this morning, not only can the parents fail the child, but the child can also fail the parents. And I'm not referring to, like, not getting the grades that you're supposed to get or not making it into the school that everybody wants you to make it into. Children, by their actions or their words, can really pierce the hearts of the parents. Take, for example, the parable of the prodigal son. You know, what he did to his father by asking for an inheritance must have, you could imagine, deeply pierced his heart. And raising a child into adulthood that becomes materialistic, false sense of entitlement, and spoiled is a very deeply disappointing thing. You know, a few weeks ago in New Jersey, I don't know if you heard on the news or not, but there's an 18-year-old daughter that sued her parents to pay for child support and for her private school. And so the judge, of course, declined to give that. But, you know, throughout the whole, I followed that story a little bit, and let me get the one slide up here. You go follow that, you know, and I was just thinking, wow, you know, the whole national media is focused on this particular lawsuit in New Jersey, and the parents, I mean, their hearts are absolutely pierced. You know, that's how it looks like. You know, when a heart is pierced by the words and the actions of their children. And the girl's father apparently is a police chief. And let's get the next slide up here. And as a police chief, you know, he must have handled a lot of tough criminals before. And I'm sure he oversaw, you know, a lot of terrible cases dealing with crime. But here he is, you know, he ran out of fight. He's all defeated. He's here, you know, as a defendant talking to the plaintiff, his own daughter. And he looks broken, he looks devastated, his own flesh and blood. And so the impact of children that they have on their parents is sometimes quite profound, profoundly disappointing, or profound joy. All right? Both of them can come from the same person. So both the parent and child can fail each other. But yet, the Word of God says we are to unconditionally obey God's fifth commandment of honor your mother and father. God didn't say to you that, you know what, honor your mother and father if they've been good to you, or if they gave you what you want. Didn't say that. Now, next detail that we look, that we can find in this fifth commandment is that it's the only commandment. There's some unique features about this commandment. And we can easily see that, yes, this one commandment, and this is the only commandment among the ten, that comes with a reward or comes with a promise. Because in the New Testament, in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 2, it tells us that, you know, honor your mother and father, which is the first commandment with a promise. And I'd like to go even deeper than that. Because not only is this commandment attached to a promise, this commandment touches both heaven and earth. And let me explain that a little bit. You know, when you look at the list of the Ten Commandments, you know, you have the first four that deal with man's relation with God, all right, the vertical relationship. And then the last five deal with the horizontal relationship between your fellow man. And so what connects these two sets of both the vertical and the horizontal relationship is the fifth commandment, which deals with both your relationship with your Father, Heavenly Father, and with other people, such as your parents. And so you are to honor your parents like you honor God, as the first four commandments state. And this is the order that God has created. He's the creator, and this is how it goes. This is how it flows. And so Colossians 3:20 tells us this, that children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. So then as you assume the responsibility of caring for them as part of your relationship between human beings, this is the connection that you have between heaven and earth. And so this commandment is like a buffer between focusing on both heaven, God, and also on earth, your fellow man. And so how you treat your parents, believe it or not, is connected to your spiritual vitality because it's connected to your relationship with God. You know, I recall many years ago when I was going for ordination and during the interview process, they asked a lot of questions about my relationship with my parents. You know, when's the last time you had an argument with them? Describe your relationship with your mom. You know, it's being without, growing up without a father. How do you think that impacts your ministry? On and on and on. And I was wondering, what does this have to do with my theological view of predestiny, of understanding the order of salvation, and all those other things? I thought I came here for that. And I kept asking about that. But you see, the thinking goes like this, that if you are disconnected with the life of your parents, then in some way it does shed some light into your spiritual maturity. That if you are constantly arguing or you have a strained or bitter relationship with them, then regardless of how gifted you think you are in ministry, there is something missing there. You know, Moses, he presented a law before the Israelites that sounded like it was something so serious, like a capital crime or something like that. And in Exodus 21, it says this, whoever curses his father and his mother shall be put to death. Wow. You see, your offense horizontally directly impacts your vertical relationship. That when you disobey that fifth commandment, it is violating that order that God has established. Now, one more thing about the promise. It says that to live long in the land of his inheritance. So what exactly is being promised to you and I when we obey our parents? I mean, when we honor our parents unconditionally. You know, on the surface, it looks like a promise of long life. And I guess as Asian Americans, we could kind of relate to that. You know, we go to Chinese restaurants, you see a couple of idols. And one of those idols, one of the three guys, is the long life idol. Right? So yes, you know, most people like long life. It's a good thing. But is that really it? Is that what God is promising? Simply long life? Well, you see, at the time when the Ten Commandments were given, Israel was being prepared to live like a covenant people with a covenant relationship with God in the promised land. And it's not just about lasting for a long time as a nation, right? There is more to this than just longevity, physical longevity. It is about a certain type of life that you will have, right? God's people are to live in the land, and that land is the inheritance, or what we know as the inheritance of Christ, for a long time. So as you obey God unconditionally by honoring your parents, God promises you a deeper life of Christ. That's the life that he's promising you. So again, whether you choose to honor your parents or not, it is directly connected to your spiritual vitality. Proverbs 20:20 says this, if someone curses their father or mother, the lamp will be snuffed out in pitch darkness. And the lamp, we know in the scriptures, it speaks about the spiritual life, the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life. Your light, your Christian walk will be snuffed out. Now, let me give you two takeaways for today. Adult children still need their parents. And parents still need their children. Let me go with the first one. Adult children still need their parents. You know, even in adulthood, there is a lot of richness that can be found between an adult child and a parent. Because deep down inside, and we have our parents, whether in a Chinese congregation or whatever, you know, we have our connection. They're there, and deep down inside, I suspect that all of us, if not most of us, all long for a better, deeper, a more well-connected relationship with our aging parents, right? I mean, don't ever think that after kids go to college, then you know what, that's, you know, my influence is over. You know, that's not true. Even after they get married, the influence is still there. So don't shortchange this relationship that God has given to you. You know, earlier in the video with Steve Harvey, obviously he's a very successful person. He has his own show. He mentioned about his own studio and all of that, his own branding. He has a lot of wealth on his own. And so physically, he doesn't need his parents. Financially, he does not need anything from his parents. But the influence and the emotional bond is still there. And he says something that many of us might not realize until maybe our parents are gone themselves. But he says something like this. I don't know if you caught this in a video or not. He says, I hope I have made her proud of the man that I turned out to be. And I haven't always been what I should have been in life. But I tried. I tried. You know, Earl Woods once said this about his relationship with his son Tiger. He says, I never treated Tiger like a kid. I treated him as an equal. We have transcended the parent and child relationship and became best friends, he says. Now, Earl Woods, if you've done any kind of reading about his biography, certainly he was a flawed man. There's no doubt about that. But his sustained influence over his adult child cannot be questioned. I mean, it is so obvious that while he was around, Tiger Woods was so steady. He was calm. He was extremely focused. And even under enormous pressure from the media, from the tournaments, whatever it is, he was able to perform with laser focus. He never argued with other golfers, right? He never leaves tournaments early. You know, so here's an example where adult child, you know, still needs their parents. I think you and I fit in that category as well. And the second takeaway is this, the parents still need their adult children. You know, last summer during my sabbatical, I made a commitment to my mom. I said, you know what, you know, once in a while, I guess I call her up to go eat or do something like that. But I told her that, you know what, I want to see you every single week. All right, every single week, I'll proactively call you. And we'll do something, or is something around the house you want me to do. Usually on Mondays, I would contact her. And, you know, in case you don't know, for a while back, for many years, we had a long history of just arguing back and forth. And we try to take vacations together. And sometimes we just end up arguing. And, you know, my kids could tell you that, you know. And so this is what happens when you have two flawed individuals who have control issues, right? All right? Vacations don't go really well. All right, but since last summer during sabbatical, you know, we really truly had a mutual blessed time together. You know, so there's one time we visited her apartment in Flushing with all the kids and everything, and we went in there like a crew, like a cleaning crew, you know, vacuum cleaner, bags, masks, gloves, you know, we're there for hardcore stuff, and because her place wasn't clean for a long time, for years, I would say. And so we went in there, and it was like divide and conquer, you know, like Cindy's got the kitchen, all right, you know, Andrew, you do the vacuuming, the girl's going to do the dusting, and I got the toilet bowl all to myself, right? And it took me an hour just to reveal that behind all that, there was indeed a toilet bowl, right? And so so I spent a whole hour on a toilet bowl, and then I looked at the bathtub. Let me get that one slide up there, all right? I looked at the bathtub, and I said, wow, you know, it doesn't work there, you know? And since I'm, you know, the only child and everything, well, I can't push it off to my brother. I can't push it off to my sister. It's going to be me, all right? So then when I saw that, you know, I put the gloves back on, and I just got busy. And then after about 40 minutes work, bam, thank you. Don't hire me. I'm not going to go to your house. But, but yeah, I mean, I couldn't fix up everything. But this is after some scrubbing, right? And I said, Ma, come here. Take a look at this, all right? Get the next slide up there. And then, so she was really happy about that, you know. She goes, wow, it's so bright in here, you know. Did you change the light bulbs? I said, no, I just took the grime off, right? And so that's every single Monday. We kind of do that. And it's been very rewarding, praise God. And so the point is, you know, parents, whether they're aging or not, parents also need their adult children, just like parents, just like the children need their parents. And I'd like to ask Jane to come up for this brief interview here. And yeah. Okay. Is it okay if I come down with a mic? Okay. All right. All right. It's okay.
It's been almost about 3 months. Almost 3 months. Yes. Yeah. Since James, my mom, passed away. And I asked her beforehand, this sermon is not just on the spot here. I asked Jane that she would be willing, that she was ready to share some of the experiences, at least the last few months, at least from your moms have been talking about today, you know, the parent and child relationship. And obviously, I'm focusing more than just the little kids to the parent type of view. It's really more of like both for adults. So, there are a couple questions I just want to ask Jane, and then as she reflects on them, we can gather some of the benefits from this. Now, in trying to take care of your mom, Jane, was it an experience that you would say energized you, or you felt like it really drained you? Do you mind sharing some? To stay with her. And she was happy to hear that. And I went home to my
myself, being, you know, Don and Don and Krista. And they said, okay, you know, fine, you know. So I packed my bags and I left my house, my family, to be with my mother. And as the days went by, I found it even more physically draining because I was there 24 hours a day, and got to the point where I realized that it was really very difficult because I'm not a big person, and I guess over the weeks that passed, she got weaker, and she did say that her vertical was decreasing and she started to feel better, which was great, but I realized that she didn't have any strength. For some reason, she didn't stop eating. She actually stopped eating as much. She was like taking like a tablespoon of food at each meal. So I knew something was going on. But it was to the point where she was sleeping more during the day. And when it was time for me to go to bed, she would be waking me up every hour. So I really dreadfully needed sleep because accumulated sleep was no more than 3 or 4 hours at most on a given night. And so when the weekend came, I dreadfully needed my sleep. Otherwise, I was thinking about me getting sick and not being able to care for her then. That would be no good. So that's when I got my brother involved again on the weekends. So I could go home and sleep. So he would come in and take over for a few hours, you know, during the day. There were times when I had to really use my whole body to pick her up, and I already threw out my back from the previous year, and I had strained it already from the times that I had to pull her up and pick her up and take her to the bathroom. So it was it got to the point where it was really physically draining. Did it as best as I could, but I realized that it was more to it than vertical. So, I can tell you, being a caregiver is not that easy, because given the facts that I was given, I took it based upon what she told me, and it turned out that it was probably more than what it was. So it was, it started off where I was energized. I wanted to help her because she never really ever needed my help. Mm-hmm. I don't know whether it's because I'm a daughter and not the number one son. Mm-hmm. But I wanted to be there for her because she is my mother. And you only get one mother.
So to start off feeling energized,
yes.
But then quickly after that it was quite draining.
Yes.
And today, you know, I guess the Bible, God is saying, honor your father and mother. Now, how are you able to do that unconditionally, independent of her reaction, whether she appreciated it or not, whether she complied or not? I mean, how are you able to do that?
I did it because she's my mother. I mean, she raised us best as she could under the circumstance that she didn't speak English. But somehow she managed to put a roof over our heads, and we were never starving. We always had food at the table. I mean, she worked in the laundry, and day in, day out, she serviced customers that brought in the dirty laundry, and we were always there to help out, knowing that here they're in a country that didn't speak the language, and yet they managed to get through and get by. It's amazing. They worked hard. They worked 6 days a week, and they only took that one Sunday off to come to Chinatown so my father could visit his mother. So we did this as long as I could
close in prayer, and then I think the worship team will go up there. Father, Lord, we acknowledge, Lord, your word is given to us, not only for us to believe, but for us to act upon, for us to be faithful to. And Father, Lord, it is unconditional. And so, Father, Lord, we ask, Lord, for the courage, for the passion and desire to do so, because we're doing it for you, ultimately. And Lord, your word is your word. And so, Father, Lord, from this group, from this church, I ask, Lord, I know we've been talking a lot about being missional, but Father, help us. Help us, Lord, to be what you have called us to be, to our own families especially, to our mothers and fathers, our children. So, Father, Lord, may we take your words, your unconditional command, Lord. May we take it seriously, and we obey it, and we love it. And so, Lord, that we may live in the land of Christ, the inheritance of Christ, for a long, long time. And thank you for that promise. In Jesus' name.